no preparation possible to survive in the heat. Sometimes when feet hit the concrete, when situations get deep. So watch survival instincts hitting instantly. Nowhere to turn when ain't no skills been learning, a brother still got to eat.
Welcome back to KPFK 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. We are being joined on the phone right now by Jerry Silva, who is the executive director and one of the founding members of Families to Mend California Three Strikes, which is working in a coalition to help pass Proposition 66, which aims to change some of the most egregious parts of Proposition 184. This is the dreaded Three Strikes and your out proposition that was passed back in 94, and it's going to be on, Prop 66 is going to be on the ballot coming up in November. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why don't we start off with maybe if you can talk about the events and the politics that were in shape when Proposition 184 was passed in 1994.
Well, the 80s were the time probably the 80s were the period of time when the drugs were I would say placed in inner city communities, especially South Central community. I mean, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that they didn't get here on their own, and they didn't get here because some big inner city drug lord brought them here. So you started having, with the 80s came the war on drugs, thus the war on inner-city youth, and by the early 90s, they were touting crime as the biggest issue that we were facing, touting it at the same time that actually crime had been decreasing since the early 80s. It was a slow decrease. By 1993, it took a big drop. Crime, you know, the decline in crime in 1993 was significant. Yet in 1994, while they were trying to shove this law down people's throats, they were saying that violent crime was the biggest problem we faced. And they were able to be successful in doing it because, as you mentioned, all of these things turn on events. And a young 12-year-old girl named Polly Class was kidnapped out of her home in Petaluma County, in some middle class, kind of a bedroom community, white middle class community, and the little girl's in her home, in her bedroom, and a knife wielding man comes to the door, ties up the little girls that are in the room with her, and steals her out of her home. And 3 months later, her body is found strangled and raped. And that touched off a huge, massive search in Petaluma and surrounding areas. It became a national and an international case. People all over the place were concerned about Polly Class. So that was really the turning point in the movement to pass this, the most sweeping piece of legislation probably yet known to the nation, called Three Strikes and You're Out. People had been working on it before then, and it had the support of the prison guards and the
That's what I was going to ask you. What were the kind of the monetary forces behind this? And then if you can also speak up a little bit so we make sure we can hear you.
Oh. Okay, well, see, I always feel like I'm talking loud. The prison guards certainly, you know, put a good deal of money into it, but the National Rifle Association came in kind of heavy on it as well, as did Dan Lundgren at the time, Bill Jones, those types of politicians. To be honest with you, in terms of other individual politicians or organizations, I don't know other big money that was behind it, but I don't think the campaign spent that much, nor did they have to, because the opposition was a fart in the gale wind. I mean, the opposition was Joe Class and Vince Giraldi and a few of us at the grassroots level, but they never had anything to worry about in terms of media buys. They got plenty of media on it. You know, there was no shortage of that. So, you know, clearly they did have some money. But they also had a lot of free media because, you know, then Governor Wilson was a major supporter of this.
Right.
And the prison guards were a major support.
Which is really interesting because if the next segment we have stuff around Measure A, which seems like it's a continuation of this kind of let's criminalize people, ask for more money to incarcerate them.
Exactly.
And then you have the prison guards who get more money for overtime, get more people in their union so they can raise more money to push a lot of these.
It's a sweet deal, isn't it? Because it's a win-win situation for them.
Right.
So you're right. They create the problem, and then they blame the people who are victimized by it, and then they go to prison, and we all pay for it, and there's misery and poverty on one end and, you know, a big pork barrel industry on the other.
On the line with us is Jerry Silva from Families to Amend California's Three Strikes, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. Jerry, this is Tammy. I'm one of the other co-hosts here. Can you talk a little bit about what Three Strikes and You're Out has done in terms of how many more people has it incarcerated, and the increase in terms of just the whole prisons and corrections budget, and then also thirdly, to talk about real people that have been affected by this measure, by this proposition.
Well, the three strikes population accounts for about one quarter of the prison population. There's 42,000 strikers. There's 161 prisoners altogether in the state of California.
Do you have breakdowns in terms of race on that, too?
In terms of gross numbers, I don't. African-Americans are overwhelmingly the majority of strikers. They're in L.A. County, there's four blacks for every one white that's struck out or that's, you know, in prison under the three strikes law. And there's another statistic, and this probably functions statewide. Blacks are 17 times more likely to be struck out than whites with similar backgrounds and for similar crimes. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the population itself, it is about a quarter of the population. There's been a figure that it has cost the state something like $4 billion extra dollars to house the nonviolent. And I'm not talking about the thing that's so over the top and overwhelming about this law is that people are serving 10, 15, 25 to life sentences for, stealing some batteries or a pair of socks, receiving stolen property or forging a check or, you know, trace amount of drugs or burglarizing an unoccupied house or on and on and on with the petty offenses. So those prisoners have cost the state, the nonviolent third striker, who, if there weren't for this law, would not be in prison, have cost the state about $4 billion in the 10 years, extra dollars that we wouldn't have had to spend. Now, you know, we know our deficit is greater than that, but that's a lot of money to spend on people that certainly don't need to be incarcerated, and we're not solving any problems by having them in there. And your third part was the real-life stories. Well, I think there's so many good examples. One that always strikes me is there's a guy who, in his youth, commits a robbery with a partner of his. He runs one way. The guy runs the other way, and his partner ends up shooting someone. So he goes to prison for second-degree murder. It really was only a robbery on his part, but he has a second-degree murder in his past. That was his first strike. His next strike, I think, was a burglary of an unoccupied dwelling. His third strike, and this happened some 15 years after his youthful crime spree, he went to a friend's house, and the neighbors down the street called the police and said that there were drugs in the house. So the police go to the house. There's no drugs anywhere in the house. They ask if they can search the house, and they search it, and they find in the house a gun registered to the woman who lived there. He didn't live there. He was just visiting there. He is serving 25 years to life for constructive possession of a firearm. And there's numerous cases of people serving time for constructive possession of a firearm. There's another man who, once again, most of the strikers are in their 30s and committed their crime, quote-unquote crime career, took place in their youth, between 18 and 25, and they're well past that age. In his home, he had an antique gun hanging on the wall. It wasn't loaded, nor was it loadable, and there was no ammunition in the house. He's serving 25 years to life for constructive possession of that handgun. There's case after case of people who, drug users. who are in prison for using drugs, whereas the rest of the population who uses drugs just buys their drugs and uses them. They're not serving 25 years to life. But under the three strikes law, you can't be an addict, or you can't be an occasional user. That's if they catch you, you're going away.
Jerry, can we move on now to then Prop 66?
Sure.
I mean, so this is a proposition that's going to be on the November ballot to amend the three strikes law that we've been talking about. Can you lay out what Proposition 66 is?
Well, Proposition 66 will change the law in order that for a second or a third offense to count as a strike, it would have to be a violent or a serious crime. So, you know, where I was outlining all those people that for extra $1 billion, those people wouldn't be in prison today. They would get the time that would be commensurate with their crime. If it's a petty theft, maybe they get a year. If it was a burglary, maybe they get 3 years, 6 years. So that's the most, that's the, you know, the main thing that the initiative does, is that it, to trigger the strike, it would have to be a violent or a serious offense. It will be retroactive for third strikers only. So people who are in there serving a life sentence will be able to petition for resentencing. That period of time is about 180 days. They'll be able to come back. It also removes from the list of strikes certain what are called criminal threats. And in these cases where you have people making a threat like, I'm going to kill you, you know, they're called terrorist threats, criminal threats, that are really no more than threats, and in many cases are committed by people that are mental. And in fact, one of our members' sons was facing 90 years to life for making 5 phone threats. That's removed from the list of strikes. It won't be a strike in the future for a person to burglarize an unoccupied dwelling. Would have to be unoccupied and nobody would be there. That person would serve the time commensurate with the crime. It just would not be a strike. It will also increase sentences for certain sex crimes committed against the very young. For 13-year-olds, it doubles the time for a sex crime committed against a 13-year-old. And that's by somebody that's 10 years old or 10 years older than that person. Or it gives a first-time 25-year life sentence for a sex crime against a 10-year-old. But even in that case, the judge would have the discretion. For example, if there's mitigating reasons or circumstances why that person shouldn't get 25 to life, he or she wouldn't. And, you know, those are that's the main thing that it'll do. The major thing is that it brings the law in line with what other states, the three strikes laws in other states, and in fact, in line with what people thought they were voting for when they voted for it this time.
So, Jerry, I, in terms of also being like a anti-prison activist, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the things that we think about is like the release of people from prison is really, really important. Mm-hmm. The fact that you keep other people out of prison is really important.
Right.
One thing I wanted to ask you and get your sense of, a lot of what the right does is they kind of paint these prisoners are good prisoners and these prisoners are bad prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, there's questions for me about Prop 66, which I still think is a really important step,
mm-hmm.
That it gets people out, but then the certain people who are in there are, you know, it's like, yeah, those are the violent ones, those are the evil ones.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting them resources and, you know, preventative stuff, counseling, jobs, et cetera, it kind of locks, it feels like it more tries to lock them further away into the jail.
Well, you know, you're partly right, and that'll never be my rhetoric, but that is partly what a lot of people are doing in trying to get this, the law passed.
Right.
A lot of people are selling it like that, saying, yeah, this is what people originally intended, they wanted the really violent person in prison, and there's not a lot we can do to stop, you know, to stop that. And my druthers would have been to go after the whole lot. But I also know that this has taken us 8 years to
right.
get this mm-hmm. far. And we got this far because a man with a lot of money decided to help. And that has not been forthcoming up to now. It's been just as gross, crass, and egregious for 8-10 years. But
right.
we just finally got somebody to come across. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Right.
And I personally intend to stay in the business of trying to wipe out the whole law and the entire prison system. But, you know, I don't represent all of Prop 66, yes, on 66. Mm-hmm. I do represent a strain within it, you know, and some of our members of Families to Amend California's Three Strikes would like the whole law to go away, and we probably have some prison abolitionists in it. But, you know how the world works.
Okay, we're a very small strain at this point.
Yeah.
Trying to get bigger.
Exactly. And, you know, eventually we will. I mean, movements start small. Even our movement to reform it started small.
Right.
So, you know, but I hope that any of your listeners that want to get involved.
Yeah, why don't you give us your contact information before we go to our next segment.
Okay. At this point, they should call the fax office. That's Families to Amend California's Three Strikes at 213-746-4844. 213-746-4844. Visit our website at facts1.com, facts1.com. And you know, I agree with you, but we have a window of opportunity to decriminalize. Because, as you say, they're differentiating the violent from the nonviolent. But the opposition isn't. The opposition is saying they're all violent.
Yeah, they're all born out of their mother's violent, and they can't be helped. So
this is important. Just the course of this campaign allows us to decriminalize. The result of it will. And I think it will give us impetus to go on. So I do appreciate you letting me on your show today to talk about this.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
This
is we had Jerry Silva from is the executive director from the California Families
to Amend
California's Three Strikes, and in the Yes on Prop 66 Coalition.
Right.
So we'll be right back with Craig Gilmore talking about Measure A, the half-cent sales tax that Sheriff Baca is trying to get for law enforcement and to increase the size of jails and personnel. So we'll be right back.
Thank you. Bye.
Rock and roll music.